fans, and welcome to the Week 13 edition of Packer Preview. I'm the sports leader and the home of the Vikings, KFAN, Fan Radio Network, iHeartRadio. However you found us, we're glad to be here and excited to talk about Packer Football Sunday as Green Bay gets set to host the Philadelphia Eagles, a game that was flexed to 3:25, a 3:25 kickoff today at Lambeau Field as the 8-3 Pack host the 3-7-1 Eagles, who despite that putrid record are still very much in the playoff mix in the NFC least this season. Can't wait to break this one down for you. It's not as easy as it might look on paper, I don't believe. A desperate, foundering team that kind of had a come-to-Jesus meeting following their Monday night loss to the Seahawks. They laid everything on the table. Carson Wentz stepped up and said, yep, I suck. I think everybody'd like to hear that. Coach is on the hot seat, so they're going to be playing hard today, but do they have enough to match up against the Green Bay Packers, who looked exactly like we hoped they would look last Sunday night against the Chicago Bears? I've been doing this here for 25 years. You know how I feel. Nothing feels better than destroying the Chicago Bears. Nothing feels better than looking up at the screen and seeing a 41-10 lead on the Chicago Bears. That was just a dominant performance Sunday night, just what we had hoped we would see, but I certainly wasn't positive we'd see it after the previous two games at Lambeau Field were less than exciting, less than what we had hoped against the Vikings and Jaguars. But as soon as Aaron Jones took that ball up the middle on the first play and I think got 6-7 yards, and the running game was just so effective against that defense, we knew we were in for an easy ride. Yes, the loss of Akeem Hicks was evident. The Bears' defense was toothless without him. But what a performance by Jones and Williams, and of course Aaron Rodgers continues to put up MVP-type numbers, now 20-5 against the Chicago Bears. He leads the league in passer rating, on touchdown passes, still just four picks, only been sacked 11 times, so the offensive line should step up and take a bow because it's been just phenomenal. And he reached 50,000 yards Sunday night, just the 11th quarterback to do so. You know, it's always prudent to sort of take a step back and appreciate what Rodgers is doing. And, you know, I don't think a lot of us are real surprised. I certainly wasn't. I thought the storyline coming into the season with the drafting of Jordan Love, the redemption tour, the chip on his shoulder, the second year in LaFleur's system, you know, I had a feeling we were going to see Rodgers. I certainly hoped we would see Rodgers put up numbers like this. And for my money, yeah, of course I'm biased. I think Rodgers deserves his third MVP. It's a two-man race to me. Yes, maybe Russell Wilson is still in the mix. His numbers have dropped precipitously of late. It's Mahomes and Rodgers. And, you know, is Mahomes more talented today? Yes. You know, will he likely win at least three MVPs? Yes. Does Aaron Rodgers have... Okay, he's got Devontae Adams. That maybe takes the Tyreek Hill, factor out. But he doesn't have the weapons that Mahomes has. Certainly doesn't have anything like Travis Kelce. Everybody complains that the Packers didn't get Rodgers any weapons, yet those weapons have produced just about the best offense in football this season. So a terrific performance against the Bears to lift the Pack to 8-3, close out quarter number 3 of the season, and a chance to go 3-1 in this quarter. As the Eagles come to town, a series that goes back to 1933, Packers lead all time 26-15. It's the first time the Eagles have ever come to Lambeau in the month of December. Interestingly enough, Packers are 5-2 against Philly the last 7 times they have met. But interestingly, just 3-3 the Packers are at Lambeau in the last 6 games against Philly. Just 3-3, and they've alternated wins. And since the Eagles won at Lambeau last season, history would tell you Green Bay will not take care of business today. I was at that game last season, week 4, a Thursday night, a 34-27 Eagles win. Remember it well, the red zone interception by Rodgers in the final minute, a play or two after pass interference had not been called. It could have been called on the interception as well. But an empty feeling losing that game against an Eagles team that was firing offensively in a whole lot of cylinders, and they're not doing that this year. We will talk a lot about what has gone wrong with Philly's offense, and that is the reason that they are 3-7-1, and what has happened to quarterback Carson Wentz, who looks nothing like the guy we saw a few years ago. The key matchup, as it was last week, will be the Packers' offense against Philly's top 10 ranked defense, and we'll talk about the key matchups there throughout the program. Aaron Rodgers, 4-1 against the Eagles. He has thrown at least two touchdown passes in all five meetings with Philadelphia. The Packers in the month of December at Lambeau have been better than any team at home in the final month of the season of late. 19-3 in their last 22 games at Lambeau Field in December. And Rodgers' passer rating of 112 is the best ever for a quarterback at home in the month of December. We know there are no fans. It's not quite the same vibe, but it will be chilly for Philly. And Green Bay does like the cold stuff. All right, let's talk injuries. The list at least is shorter than it's been of late. The big loss is to center Corey Linsley, who injured his knee early in that game Sunday night. It forced Elgton Jenkins to move over to center and John Runyon to step in at left guard, but has been the case all season with the Packers' offensive line. They did not miss a beat, but they will miss Corey Linsley, who is playing the best center of anybody, graded the highest by Pro Football Focus all season. He was the best center in football. He was placed on IR yesterday. That doesn't sound as doomsday as it used to, but it does mean he will miss at least three games. So he's out this week. He's out against Detroit. He's out against Carolina. And hopefully Green Bay will have him back for Tennessee in Week 16, or at least make sure he's ready to go for the playoffs. You know, we'll talk a lot as we wrap up the season about pending free agents and the tough decisions Green Bay is going to have to make, already having paid David Bakhtiari. But with COVID and the revenues down and the salary cap shrinking next year, a lot of teams are going to have to make a lot of tough choices on free agents. And my guess is they will not tender a contract to Corey Linsley, as great as he has played. We've seen this movie before. When it's time to pay a center, Green Bay tends to move in another direction. They don't value the position as highly as others, and it's tough. Remember when J.C. Treader was sent walking, and he wasn't a full-time starter for Green Bay at that time. They were so deep that they didn't offer him a deal. He's been a fixture in Cleveland the last few years, and Green Bay moved on from him when he was ready to step in if they had chosen to do so. So, you know, we're not going to see a whole lot more of Corey Linsley, I don't believe, but it'd be great to get him back for the playoff push and then into the postseason. The other guy to be concerned about, and it's a big one, is Za'Darius Smith, who practiced Wednesday and Thursday and then did not practice Friday with an ankle injury. Matt LaFleur said, you know, we'll see how he feels Sunday. He didn't seem overly concerned, but you want Z on the field against an Eagles offense that has been overmatched, and Carson Wentz has spent more time on the ground than groundhogs do. So you want Za'Darius out there. Otherwise, it's a big dose of Rashawn Gary along with Preston Smith. We'll talk about those guys as we move along. Chris Barnes finally brought back from the COVID list, but he is questionable, as is Tyler Irvin, who has missed the last few games, and the Packers have signed a potential replacement. We'll talk about him in just a minute. A couple other roster moves. Green Bay, with Linsley placed on IR, have activated guard Ben Braden. The former Michigan offensive lineman is on the active roster, and they also called up tight end Dominique Daphne, who's a rookie out of Indiana State, a converted wide receiver, 6'3", 235. Oh, curious about that one. You know, with Tonyan and Sternberger, Mercedes Lewis has been a little banged up, but I don't think of this kid as a blocker since he used to be a wide receiver. So I'm not sure what the story is with that activation. Maybe he's a special teams guy, but he is on the active roster for the first time as an NFL player. So a big day for him. So that's the list. It's not huge compared to what we've seen lately. Most everybody else should be good to go, just dealing with the usual bumps and bruises playing for the ninth straight week. Eagles also are healthy coming into this one. The only player that is questionable that matters is cornerback Darius Slay, who we know well from his years in Detroit. He has had a good season, though he struggled Monday night against DK Metcalf. Most corners do. Slay injured his calf in that game. He has practiced all week in a limited fashion, and I'm sure he will play today, but I doubt he's 100%. And, you know, it's a great matchup with Davante Adams. Adams has had his way with Slay more often than not, and I expect that to continue, but that's the one guy that's dealing with a bit of an issue with the calf. Otherwise, the Eagles are healthy, although they are, as you said, playing off a short week, having played Monday night against the Seattle Seahawks, a game they lost. All right, Packers did make a couple other signings this week, including defensive lineman Anthony Rush. He'll replace Montrevious Adams on the roster. Rush, a huge man, like 6'5", 360. He's bounced around a bit. Most recently with the Chicago Bears, who released him. Packers claimed him on waivers. They'll move him into the mix a little bit to deal with run stopping. I don't know if we'll see him on the field today, but he gives them some insurance and another big, make that large body on the defensive line. Then you all saw the signing, the wide receiver. We all thought, you know, maybe Kenny Stills will be coming to Green Bay. He passed through waivers. He's still out on the street. Green Bay passed on Kenny Stills, but they bring in Tavon Austin and sign him. He'll be wearing number 16 today. And you know, if Irvin doesn't play, I don't think he will. I think Austin will be called on to return punts. He hasn't really returned kicks much at all in his career, but there's not much competition. Malik Taylor's been doing it by default and doesn't really do much with the ball when he gets it. He just basically prays that it goes into the end zone. I think Austin could handle that. And we should see him, I think, on a few snaps offensively, taking that Tyler Irvin role. You know, this is the kind of guy that I've been, you know, waiting for Green Bay to add to their roster for years, right? Just the quick, twitchy return guy, speed guy. He ran a 4.35 at the combine back in the day. He was the eighth player picked in the draft back in 2013 by the Rams. Never did really find his way. He's been injury prone. He's bounced around the last couple years, most recently on the Cowboys. LaFleur and Austin were together with the Rams a few years ago, and Green Bay brought him in, tried him out, and feel like he can make a difference. I'm not expecting an Andre Rison 1996 contribution necessarily, barring injuries at the position. But I like him, you know, in individual spots, and I think it's a nice pickup, and I'll be anxious to see what he might add to the offense. So Tavon Austin added to the mix for the Pack, and he will join the wide receiver group. So Eagles-Packers, 3:25. When we come back, we'll talk about what's gone wrong with the Eagles offense and what problems they still might present on a week where it's kind of like, you know, it was got as bad as it got Monday. They spent a lot of time dealing with their issues, and they do present some issues that might be a little bit problematic for the Packers' defense. It takes away some of Green Bay's strengths, and it might expose some of Green Bay's weaknesses. We'll talk about the Eagles' offense against the Packers' D. We'll take your calls. We're just getting rolling. It's Packer Pre.
Yeah. Doing the land before we leave, jumping into the seats. Leaping in the laps, getting slapped on the hat. It's a cheesehead screaming, getting down with the tea. Doing the Lambo leap. Doing the Lambo leap, ending up in a heap. Crushed by the weight, but the feeling great. The jump start the Packers every time they score. But doing the Lambo leap.
All right, we are back, 7:18 on a Sunday morning. Thanks for getting up early as usual as we get you set for Packers football, another 3:25 kickoff. Green Bay only has one noon kickoff left the rest of the way. It's week 17 against the Chicago Bears, and I guess that one could be moved to a later time possibly, but hopefully we'll keep that one at noon and finally get a noon kickoff. 3:25 today, it's a weird one. Two NFC teams, normally that would be a Fox game, but they move some stuff around sometimes. This is a CBS game today, and we get the number one crew. We'll get Nance and Romo, Tony coming home to his home state for the call of this one. Eagles-Packers, you'd say, why is the number one announcing team doing this game? There's not a lot to choose from. It's really a kind of a crappy week of matchups. Only two games feature teams with winning records. Eagles came into this season, along with the Cowboys, as the favorites to win the East, and as things stand now, the Giants and Washington football team look like the teams battling out the spot for the number four seed in the NFC. They will do so with a losing record. What's gone wrong with Philly? Well, you could say it starts with Carson Wentz, and it does, but it also starts with their offensive line, which has absolutely been ravaged by injuries, and the guys they have out there are terrible. And that's the big advantage Green Bay has today is the front seven against just an offensive line in shambles. This will be the 11th different starting offensive five guys on the line for the Eagles in 12 games. A new right tackle starts today, Jack Driscoll. He's a rookie fourth-rounder out of Auburn. He has played in spots, but this will be his first start. He replaces the longtime veteran Lane Johnson, who was lost for the season in the last week or two. But that's been the real problem, is they cannot protect Carson Wentz, and he has lost all confidence in his ability, completing just 58% of his passes this year. I mentioned earlier that Rodgers has been sacked 11 times. Carson Wentz has been sacked 46 times in 11 games. Do the math. That's more than four per game. He's been sacked 11 times in just the last two games. And most recently, they played the Seahawks. They don't really sack anybody, but they put him on the ground throughout the night. So that's really where Green Bay has the advantage. Wentz gets in trouble, and then he throws the ball up for grabs. 15 interceptions. It takes Rodgers a decade to throw 15 picks. Wentz has done it just this season. It doesn't help that he doesn't have a terrific set of receivers. He certainly does have a nice pair of tight ends, and while Zach Ertz has been out since week five, he returns today. They did activate him from IR. Now, he wasn't having a typical Zach Ertz season before he got hurt. He had a big opening week and then really didn't do much the next 4 weeks. But he's back on the field. I don't know that he'll be a prime target for Wentz in his first game back. Dallas Goedert has sort of taken over the role. But I will say this. In the week four victory over the Pack last year, what really got the job done for Philly was their two tight end, two running back look. And they mashed Green Bay on the ground for 176 yards, led by Jordan Howard, who shortly after that game got injured. His season was pretty much toast. He became a free agent, went to the Dolphins. Things didn't work out for Jordan Howard in Miami this year. The Eagles picked him up a few weeks ago, put him on their practice squad, and they activated him today. So Jordan Howard returns to the scene of his best game last year, and I have to think he'll get some action along with Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. The only way Philly stays in this game is if they run the football, and obviously you can run the football against Green Bay. They've not been great against the run, and you look at what they did Monday night. Now, when you're playing Seattle, who's been historically bad against the pass, it does make sense to throw the rock around the yard a little bit, but when your offensive line can't protect, you might want to rethink that a little bit. Last week, they dropped back to pass on 75% of their offensive snaps. Wentz threw it 45 times. Jalen Hurts threw it one versus 14 runs. I expect that script to be flipped this week, at least initially. If they can stay in the game, they are going to look to run the football and to get the ball to those tight ends, which I think does kind of take away what Green Bay does best, which is have those corners lock down receivers. You don't really have to worry too much about the Eagles' receivers. They have not been that productive this year. Who do they go to? They have Alshon Jeffrey, who's been there for a while, but he gets banged up a lot, doesn't do much. They have Travis Fulgham, who Coach Matt LaFleur is worried about a little revenge game today, because the Packers brought Fulgham in for like a week on the practice squad, and they cut him and let him go on to Philly, where he was really productive for about 4 or 5 weeks. He's kind of dropped off the map of late, and they have rookie Jalen Reagor, who there's been a lot of talk in the last week or two about how there was a rift in the organization about whether they should draft Justin Jefferson or Reagor. They went with Reagor, and they are kicking themselves. And remember, if you go back to all those mock drafts, most had Philly taking Justin Jefferson. And when they passed on him, I think some of us dared to dream that maybe he would drop to Green Bay. But the Vikings were very smart to snap him up, and he's put up really a historically good rookie season since he's played. Not so much for Reagor, but he's a kind of a Swiss Army knife. He's good with the ball in his hands, and Green Bay will have to make sure they know where he is. But the receivers have not been very productive. Last week, Wentz targeted the tight ends 16 times, the running backs 9 times. So defensively, Green Bay's been pretty good against tight ends this year, but they haven't faced some of the most productive tight ends on the schedule. They've been kind of fortunate that way. In recent years, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, some of the best tight ends have had monster games against the Packers' D. I think they've gotten better at linebacker with athleticism, with Kirksey, with Kamal Martin. Maybe Chris Barnes gets back on the field. They'll be important today, as will the safeties, Amos and Savage, to watch those tight ends. That's where Wentz will look. He'll also look to dump off the ball to Sanders, to Boston Scott. That's been kind of a 50-50 snap share of late. Miles Sanders, the presumed starter, but Boston Scott has taken a lot of those snaps. I really think Philly's recipe today is to get the ball in the hands of their running backs, take the pressure off Carson Wentz, who, as I said, kind of stood up in front of the team after the game Monday night and was accountable for his shaky play. I'm being nice when I say shaky. And apparently the players appreciated that Wentz sometimes comes off a bit aloof. It's everybody else's problem, not him. He stood up and took some ownership, and I think they will take the pressure off him today, knowing that the Packers' pass rush is a lot more dangerous than Seattle's, and playing on a field that it's going to be cold, and I just think they're going to do all they can to make sure Carson Wentz doesn't lose this game. They'll get rid of the ball quickly, and the Packers and Mike Pettine will have to make sure they know where those tight ends are and keep a spy on those running backs. But this is an offense that ranks 28th in the league. It's just been a disaster. It is the reason that Philly is 3-7-1. Next segment, we'll talk about the defense. It's pretty solid defense. And as good as Green Bay's offense has been, whether it's been a top 10 defense or one that's ranked lower, Green Bay's pretty much had their way with most, except for maybe Tampa Bay. Philly will present some challenges. So where Green Bay really has the edge today is their defense against Philly's offense. And just, you know, take the lead. Get the lead today. Get up a score, maybe two. And that sort of blows up their idea of running the football. And we'll put the ball in Carson Wentz's hands. And that, of course, will be just what the doctor ordered. All right, to the Packer lines we go. Let's talk to our usual buddies beginning up in Maple Grove. Is Dave, you were the first to check in today. Good morning.
Good morning, kind sir. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. You and I both thought last week's game would be a bit closer than it was, and the Packers surprised us, which was nice.
That was a great surprise. It really was. I did not see that coming. I really thought it was going to be a tight game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with a blowout. That works for me.
Any week, you bet.
Okay. A couple of things. I want to talk one thing about last week's game and then one thing kind of about the overall season. Last week's game, the one thing that hasn't been talked about was special teams. And, yes, Crosby did miss an extra point. But overall, I thought our special teams play was pretty good, especially covering kicks and punts last week. Cordell Patterson didn't do a thing. Basically, overall, Dave, I thought our coverage was really good.
Yeah, it's a great point, and that was another thing that I was worried about. Like, all right, so Green Bay's offense against the Bears' defense without Hicks, I like that. Certainly Trubisky against the Packers' defense, I like that. But, yeah, worried about Patterson on kick returns, Miller on punt returns, Green Bay's returners maybe muffing a ball to give the Bears a short field. None of that happened. They cleaned up their business, and, you know, when you're playing the team that you're supposed to beat, you have to do those things so you don't give them hope, like we saw against the Jaguars. So, yes, that's a great point. They cleaned up in those areas, and hopefully that will continue.
Yeah, completely agree. The other point is, what I think has been, it seems to have just gotten a little bit better each week. It started off good, but LaFleur's play calling really seems to be extremely good. He's got the run-pass mix in there. Like he just kept focusing on, we're going to mix the run and the pass. We're going to run the ball more. But I think he's got a great set of play calling for the offense that he's running.
Yes, I agree 100%. That's what his complete strength is calling plays. And he's been terrific. I think Rodgers is in concert with him. They are in a complete rhythm. They know what they want to do against defenses. When you have a guy like Rodgers, it makes you look like a smart play caller as well. But he's mixing things up. And I think he realized that he kind of got away from the run a little bit for a few weeks there, and this offense has to start, even though they've got, you know, the best quarterback of a generation, maybe, or at least in the conversation with Brady, you have to run the football. And Aaron Jones is a special talent, and Williams is very solid, too. So I think he figured that out a few weeks ago, and he's got this offense humming. I mean, you look at the numbers, it's been astounding in a season, again, with a team that doesn't have a whole lot of familiar faces on offense outside of Adams. What he's done has been something we should not overlook, so it's a good point.
Okay, great, thanks. Let's go ahead and win this one, 38-27.
Sounds good, I'll take it. Thanks, Dave, enjoy the game today, 3:25 kickoff against the Eagles, as we bring in our buddy, old Southside guy, just a couple weeks ago was ready to kick Goody out of town for not signing Will Fuller. How are we feeling about that one this morning, old Southside?
Well, Davey, I was going to get to that point of many I'm going to make.
I was not going to let you off the hook on that one.
I know you're not, and I'm going to eat crow, take ownership on that. Goody and the organization did their due diligence. Obviously, this kid had issues, and thankfully, they didn't give up any of those draft choices. So, Old Southside will eat crow on that.
Sounds good.
Davey, before I get to my Packer point, I want to congratulate your Indiana Hoosiers who took it to my Wisconsin Badgers. And even without your star first-string quarterback, Indiana's looking pretty good. And congrats and props to them.
Yeah, thank you. I've gotten a couple emails wondering why I haven't just sung the praises of quarterback Jack Tuttle and head coach Tom Allen. And look, I know most of you listening are Badger fans. I don't want to rub it in. We had lost 10 straight to Wisconsin, so my expectations were tempered without Michael Penix on the field. But I knew Tuttle, who the Badgers recruited and offered, as did Alabama, LSU, USC. And he went to Utah instead and then transferred. So the kid has some chops, but you go into to Camp Randall for your first start against a really good defense coached by Jim Leonard. I did not have great expectations. They surprised me yesterday, and it's been a real fun team to follow. And just for a guy that's followed Indiana football since I was, 18, I've never seen anything like this, so I'm still kind of pinching myself.
Well, props to you on that. And to my Packer point, Davey. Davey, I know you're higher on our Packer defense than I probably am. I don't know. When we get to the playoffs, Davey, the game is going to change. All professional sports, team sports change in the playoffs. Baseball goes to pitching and defense. Pro basketball goes to the half-court game. Hockey slows down in their tighter games. We're going to really have to rely on our defense. We can't rely on Rodgers putting up 35 points every game in the D. And here's what concerns me about the defense, Davey. I tried to look this up on Pro Football Focus, couldn't find this stat, but I can describe our poor play by our defense in one word, and that's tackling. We give up so many yards after the initial hit where it should be a 3-yard run, it turns into a 6 or 8-yard run because of poor tackling. A pass over the middle that should be going for 8 yards is going for 16 or 18 yards because of poor tackling again. I don't know if that's because we don't have the players or if it's Petten's scheme or what, but we got to clean that tackling up if we're going to go anywhere. But looking forward to the rest of the season, and go Pack, go.
Thanks, Southside. Appreciate you checking in as usual. Yeah, it's been an issue for sure, and I don't think it has been as bad as it was a year ago. I don't think it's the players as much as it is the scheme. I think the way Petten's got things designed right now, he's so concerned about giving up the big play that they tend to let a lot of things go in front of them, and some guys are missing. We saw the 57-yard run by David Montgomery early in the game on Sunday night, just some bad missed tackles on that play. But they got their act together, I think, for the most part, later in the game. It is an issue, and it is, again, why they've tried to, I think, upgrade the linebacker spot, and I think they've gotten better. They don't have stars there. They don't draft high in that area, but you need more athletic talent there. And I think with Kirksey and Kamal Martin and Chris Barnes, we've seen an improvement there. Savage had a great game with the 2 interceptions last week and made some big tackles. Amos led the team in tackles. But yes, it's a concern, and I think we'll know a lot more about that aspect of Green Bay's defense even next week in Detroit, because I think the Lions should have DeAndre Swift back and Kenny Golladay back. Their two best offensive playmakers who've been out for several weeks. They're going to miss today's game, most likely. Well, Golladay is for sure. Swift may come back, but I think they're both going to be back next week. So that'll give the Packers more of a test. Then the next 2 weeks with two of the top three running backs in football coming to town. McCaffrey will be back for the Panthers by then, barring a setback, and Derrick Henry. And so that's going to be a really good litmus test, I think. Granted, you got to tackle receivers too. But Green Bay's Achilles heel has been the run defense, and they're going to get tested before the playoffs by those two guys in night games at Lambeau Field in cold weather, where you've got to run the football. And I think we'll have a much better feel for where Green Bay's defense is after we see how they do against McCaffrey and Henry in weeks 15 and 16. For those that play fantasy football, a lot of teams are going to be counting on those guys in nighttime games, and we'll see if the Packers defense can hurt those fantasy players who are going to be trusting those running backs against the Packers' run defense. We'll come back for our final segment. We'll look at Packers' offense against the Eagles' defense, the problems that they may present, some of the big things to watch in today's game, and a final prediction. A couple more calls or emails we'll take as well. Final segment, Packer Preview, coming up.
Our radio app.
Packer Preview is brought to you by the Park Tavern and JTR Roofing.
Make a noise, green and gold.
with you at 7:40, our final segment. Today's edition of Packer Preview, the Week 13 edition. Packers-Eagles, 325 Lambeau Field. Green Bay's in the middle of a 4 games out of 5 at Lambeau. Obviously, must take care of business as they chase the number one seed in the NFC, just 1 game back of the New Orleans Saints, who I think are in for a battle today against the Falcons. I think Atlanta takes down the Saints today, so I think Green Bay has a chance to reclaim that number one seed if they can take care of business against Philly. I just think, you know, they played Atlanta 2 weeks ago and handled them in Taysom Hill's first start. Now Atlanta knows what Taysom Hill's all about. Never two teams play twice within 3 weeks or so. It tends to go the other way, as it did with Indy and Tennessee last week. Just have a sneaky suspicion that Atlanta, who will have Julio Jones and Todd Gurley, both have been listed as questionable, both reportedly will play today. I think there's a chance the Saints go down, and so there's a chance for Green Bay to move to the top of the NFC if they can take care of business at Lambeau Field. And it's going to be on the offense to deal with Philly's number 9-ranked defense in the NFL. I think there's a bit of a asterisk on that. They do get to play the NFC East a whole lot. They haven't faced a daunting schedule, certainly not a lot of great quarterbacks. So they're not, to me, as good as the number 9 ranking on paper. Packers, of course, number 1 in the league in points per game at 31.7. They are 4th in yards, and they are number 1 in time of possession. What Philly does do is very well is provide pressure with their front four. They have a terrific front four led by Fletcher Cox, the defensive tackle, who has missed practice all week dealing with a bit of a neck injury, but it was more precautionary than not. He will start today. No injury designation for Fletcher Cox, and that, to me, is one of the key matchups to watch as Green Bay looks to get that run game going. Cox will be matched up opposite rookie John Runyon, who will make his very first start as a pro, and how ironic that it's against the Eagles, the team his dad played for years. He basically grew up in the Eagles locker room as a kid. So for him to start for the first time in the NFL against Philly means a lot to him. He has been terrific, stepping in when needed throughout the season. When various guys have been knocked out, Runyon has gotten the call, and the sixth rounder out of Michigan has answered the bell. Big test for him, though, against Fletcher Cox. Obviously, Packers will give him help. Look for Jenkins to do some work there as well. The Eagles also have two terrific defensive ends in Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham. Barnett will be lined up against David Bakhtiari, so that's a heavyweight matchup right there. Green Bay's offensive line has been so good this season across the board. We've talked about it throughout the weeks. So many question marks heading into the season about the right side of that line, but Billy Turner has been a revelation at right tackle, and Lucas Patrick has stepped right in at right guard. Whether he keeps that spot next season with Lane Taylor coming back and other options the Packers have on the interior, what they do with Lindsley, all those questions will be answered. But that line has been great. They will be tested today by a terrific defensive line by Philly, so that's something to watch. Where Philly has not been great is on third and fourth downs. They've given up a lot of first downs on third. They do not do very well there. Packers have been one of the top third down conversion teams, although, as you know, when they get into third and short or fourth and short, it's been a real struggle. But Philly has struggled, as I said, dealing with the third and fourth down conversions. They've only allowed 3 receivers to crack 100 yards all season. I expect Adams to have a shot to do that today. Also favorable matchups for the Pack for Alan Lazard and Robert Tonyan. Their second and third cornerbacks are average at best. They've got a decent pair of safeties, but there will be opportunities for the Packers' second and third options at receiver today. Eagles' defense has only given up 14 touchdown passes all season and only allow 210 yards through the air per game. But again, if I would read you the quarterbacks that they have faced throughout this year, you would go, okay, I'm not going to read a whole lot into that. The best quarterback they've faced lately is probably, outside of Russell Wilson last week, is probably Baker Mayfield, but that game was played basically in a monsoon and nobody could throw the football that day. So I like the matchup of Green Bay's offense against Philly's D. How can you not? The Packers should be able to put 27-31 on the board today. I am a little more concerned about Philly's offense, as I mentioned earlier, as anemic as they have been and as bad as Wentz has looked. I do think they go back to that 12-13 personnel today, which means they have both tight ends on the field. They've not been able to do that. I mean, they've done it with Richard Rodgers, the former Packer, who's actually caught some passes and some touchdowns of late, but it improves with Zach Ertz on the field. So with Ertz and Goddard out there. They're going to do all they can to move the football on the ground, hit those tight ends, make sure that Carson does not hold onto the ball too long, and don't let that Packers pass rush get after him. Because I'll tell you what, Preston Smith did not start Sunday night. He said afterwards it was more about the groupings and you know the game plan that Petten put in, but he got plenty of action, and that was the best game Preston Smith has played all season. He got the touchdown. He was in Trubisky's face throughout the night, and it was just so nice to see because Rashawn Gary has been sniping snaps, as he should, as a top 10 pick from a year ago, and it's great to see Gary come along. But with Za'Darius Smith a little gimpy with the ankle, the Packers need Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary to be disruptive today to force Carson Wentz to give the ball to Green Bay. He will throw several balls in the Packers' direction. We saw those nice three turnovers last week. That needs to continue. Now in December at Lambeau Field, this defense needs to take the ball away. Philly has been as nice as anybody about giving the ball away to their opponents. All right, back to the Packer lines we go. We welcome our good buddy, Dave, checking in from Shakopee. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Couple of points I'd like to make on the defense that I've seen this year, and we didn't see so much of it on against the Bears, but earlier this year, when teams get in long situations, you know, the third and, you know, 10 or third and 15, whatever, it just seems, you know, you kind of brought it up just a minute ago, that we play off. So when it comes to fourth down, that, you know, they have fourth and short. And I just noticed a lot this year that teams do that, and then they go on fourth down and get it. I think against Indianapolis, we saw it a lot. I mean, I just see that cleaned up a little bit. And then Za'Darius, I don't know, maybe I'm seeing things, maybe you can comment on it. It just seems like this year he's been crashing down to rush the passer, and then he breaks containment on the running place. And then my last point I'd like to make is the best Packer defense is when the offense is on the field.
Yeah, that's true. I can't argue with that. Enjoy the game, Dave. Thanks for those points. We'll talk about them. I appreciate it. Za'Darius Smith has been terrific. It was 8 or 9 sacks. He hasn't been as disruptive as last season. He has been dealing with injuries throughout the season, and we've seen him slow to get up from time to time. He's a warrior. He never rarely goes to the sideline, but he's not been 100%. We know he's dealing with an ankle now. I do agree. I think he's been overly aggressive at times, and he does lose contain, and you see guys go around the side of him and pick up a big chunk of yardage. And yeah, the third and long situations have been frustrating to watch all season. It's almost like I'd rather see third and three, because I think the defense gets much more aggressive and makes things more difficult. But and that sort of takes me to an email I got from Ken, who said, you know, longtime listener, which I appreciate. It seems like Petten got far more creative last week, different pass rush plays, etc. Za'Darius lined up inside occasionally. Did you notice that? And I did, and I thought that we might see that because of the presence of Mitch Trubisky, who you can confuse and you can force into mistakes, and he hadn't been on the field in weeks and weeks, and it was his first game. And I had hoped that Petten would show him some exotic things and confuse him, and he did. And the defense benefited. Darnell Savage picked off a couple passes, and Trubisky will do that, as will Wentz. Now, less easy to confuse Carson Wentz. He's been around a while. He's been terrific. But I'm not saying he's playing for his job, because he's making huge franchise money and they can't do anything about him next season. But like the Packers draft, where everyone scratched their heads with Jordan Love, the Eagles did the same thing, albeit in the second round with Jalen Hurts. And there's been more talking about getting Hurts more involved. And we thought even Monday night we'd see Jalen Hurts maybe run some series. Now he didn't. He ran a couple of plays, and we'll see him on the field a little bit today. And maybe they'll work Jalen Hurts in a little bit more, but they cannot move on from Carson Wentz next season. They simply can't. There'd be like $20, $30 million in dead money. They can't do it. But even the fact that they're having that conversation tells you where things are right now with Carson Wentz, and how he has just dropped from what he was in 2017 and looked like the franchise quarterback. He is not that, and you know how Philly fans are. They've been absolutely brutal. And again, I think a lot of it does go to that offensive line. I mentioned at the top of the show, it's the 11th different combination today of offensive linemen for Philadelphia. That's brutal, and they're not very good. The two guys that have been there forever, center Jason Kelce and Peters, who has been a tackle forever, but now playing injured, has moved over to right guard, and just gives them a guy that, you know, I think he's been around 14, 15 years. He knows his business, but their tackles are horrendous, and Wentz knows it. And so I do expect Doug Peterson, who's given up some of the play calling, and he's on the hot seat himself. The Super Bowl is kind of a fading memory for the Eagles ownership and their fans. He's a bit on the hot seat. He has given up some of the play calling to his quarterback coach and passing game coordinator, Press Taylor. And if Taylor's smart, they will flip the script. They will not pass the ball on three quarters of the plays like they did Monday against that Seahawks pass defense. They will look to run the ball today. They will look to get the ball out of Wentz's hands quickly to those running backs, whether it's Miles Sanders or Boston Scott. I mentioned Ertz is back along with Dallas Goedert. They're going to test the linebackers, the safeties. I don't think you're going to see much from Jair and Kevin King. I don't think that they will target the receivers as much today. That's not the game plan. When you play Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau, you want to keep him on the sideline, try to control time of possession. As I mentioned earlier, Packers lead the league in time of possession, and that's one reason they've won 8 of 11 games, because they are controlling the clock, and Philly has just been awful at that. Short series, pressing their defense, making them play way too many snaps because the offense can't move the football. So the game plan today, the recipe for the ninth Packer victory in 12 games this season, is to get the lead early. You always want that, obviously, but against this team that you know wants to run the ball a little bit, you get up 10-0, 14-0, whatever it is, that changes their game plan and puts the ball in Carson Wentz's hands. So curious to see how the Packers D handles what I think will be a much different game plan than we've seen from Philly in recent weeks. And then defensively, you know, Mike Pettine plays his dime defense more than anybody in football. More than half the plays, the Packers are in dime. Six defensive backs on the field, which opens up a running game for the other team. Will he continue to do that today against a team that has thrown the ball as often as it has? My hunch is yes, but I'd like to see him not do that. You know, play more nickel, put that extra linebacker around the field to deal with the running backs as receivers, to deal with those tight ends. Let your cornerbacks do their business. They're not going to get beat one-on-one by Alshon Jeffrey, Travis Fulgham, and Jason Rager. So let those cornerbacks do their thing. Let them go one-on-one. Don't play in dime as much. That's something I'll be focused on. This is not a team that's going to throw the ball downfield. That's a recipe for disaster. You can read my blog, my complete preview, at my website, theheadcheese.com. Posted it late on Friday. I always like to wait and see what the final injury designations are, see who's playing, who's not. As I mentioned, no Corey Linsley today. Za'Darius Smith questionable, but likely to play. We'll see how close to 100% he is. And Darius Slay, the cornerback, will be matched up with Devontae Adams. That's a great matchup. We saw it for years when he was with the Lions. Always a great matchup. He's dealing with a calf. How close to 100% is he? Rodgers will obviously test him early and often, as Devontae Adams remains the number one target and perhaps the best all-around wide receiver in football right now. But opportunities for Lazard, opportunities for Tonyan, and our first look at Tavon Austin. I imagine they won't do much since he just got into the team's facilities in the last week or two. But start to work him in. Maybe he's the return guy today. Maybe he's on the field for a few snaps. Maybe he gives you that pre-snap movement stuff that Tyler Irvin gave Green Bay, and he's just not been able to play the last few weeks. And again, the big matchup to watch, Fletcher Cox against John Runyon. How disruptive will that front four be? They can be difficult to run against, and that's a great matchup to watch to see if Runyon is ready. Hey, congratulations, kids. It's your first start. You get to face Fletcher Cox. Good luck with that. I wish him well. I just have to credit Elton Jenkins for moving over to center and not missing a beat. Packers offensive line is the difference today. It's not going to be as easy as you think. 27-20 is the way I got it. Eagles are playing for their lives, and they're going to give a good effort tonight. But on a short week at Lambeau in December, not going to happen. Packers take care of business. Enjoy it. Go Packers.